Moving to lesson six. Last week we talked about, 2 weeks ago we talked about Jesus, most specifically about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10 and Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Talked about the different qualities of a good shepherd. He is the shepherd and we're the sheep of his flock. Now we're going to be talking about Jesus again. This week about Jesus as Savior in his public life. Divide his life into his private life, his public life, his passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension, and his sending of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we see in the picture, we see Jesus is 30 years old. He's in the Jordan River, and he's being baptized by his cousin, and the name of his cousin is St. John the Baptist. So we're going to read, Jesus is true God and true man. He is the Son of God made man. He is the incarnate Word. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus is the center and focal point of all human history. He divided the calendar into two parts, B.C., before Christ, and A.D., ad Domine, which means from when Christ started to exist. Indeed, Jesus should be the center and the focus of our life in time and in all eternity. Okay, so from the private life to the public life. We have already learned the basics of the private life of Jesus from his birth up to 30 years of age. Now it is time to turn our attention to what is called the public life of Jesus. Okay, so someone asks you, what about the private life of our Lord? The best and easiest way to recall that would be through the joyful mysteries. The Annunciation, when Mary said yes, and then Jesus came down from heaven into her womb. The Visitation, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. In the birth of Jesus, he's born in the stable of Bethlehem. That's Christmas. Presentation, Jesus is 40 days old, and he's presented in the temple. Then we go 12 years, which Jesus is lost and found in the temple. So that would be the private life of Jesus. We don't really know too much, but it would be the five joyful mysteries. Annunciation, Visitation, birth of Jesus, presentation, Jesus lost and found in the temple. So from 12 all the way to 30, we don't know anything. There's nothing written on Jesus from 12, when he's 12, until he's 30 years old. So those 18 years, okay, what Jesus did was he lived in a town called Nazareth. His mother, Mary, his father's name was St. Joseph. The type of work he did, well, he was a carpenter. He worked with wood. But he made chairs and stools and windows and houses. It was a very difficult work back then, even it is now. So St. Joseph dies. His father dies. We don't know exactly when. In between 12 and 30, St. Joseph is going to die. So he's going to be living with his mother, Mary. Mary's going to become a widow. Widow means someone that loses her husband. And then at 30, Jesus is going to leave Mary and he's going to move from the house of Nazareth into what is called his public life. His public life is only going to last about 3 years. So 30 years in his private life, 3 years in his public life, and 3 hours on the cross saving us. So 30, 3, and 3. And he's going to go up to heaven. That's called the ascension. He's going to be going up to heaven. And he said, I'll be with you always until the end of the world. Where is he? He's going to be with us in the church. In the church, specifically through the sacraments. So he said, I'll be with you always until the end of time. In the church, in the sacraments. Okay. prayer. From public life to private life to public life. We've already learned the basis of the private life of Jesus from his birth up to 30 years of age. Now it's time to turn our attention to what is called the public life of Jesus. Prayer. Say this prayer together. Holy Spirit, come to my aid. You truly get to know Jesus during the time of his public life. All the days of my life. Amen. Let's say it again. Holy Spirit, come to my aid. Help me to truly get to know Jesus during the time of his public life. Imitate him all the days of my life. Amen. Okay, number one. How long did the private, hidden life of Jesus last on earth? It lasted most of his earthly life, and that was 30 years. 30 years. Private life lasted 30 years. So you see him being baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus is about 30 years old when he's in the Jordan River being baptized by John the Baptist. Number two, what was Jesus doing? Okay, he was praying, listening. He was listening to his parents. And obeying them. Then Jesus was taught by Saint Joseph, his earthly father, the art of being a carpenter. This he carried out with perfection until he was 30 years of age. The story of a father who had two sons on a farm in Wyoming, and the two sons were on their horses. The father told them not to go up the hill, but to go around the hill. And they obeyed their father, because at the very top of the hill, there are two huge bears on their hind legs. So if they were to have disobeyed their father, they would have been eaten alive by this bear. So we have to learn how to obey. Yep. Even though it's hard at times. We have to learn how to obey. We have to obey God, obey the Bible, obey the Word of God, obey the Pope, obey the priests, obey your parents, obey your well-formed conscience. Obey the inspiration that God sends to you. Very hard to obey. Very hard. But if we do it, we're pleasing God. And the best example is when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was obedient to his Father, in which he was nailed to the cross. And that was very hard. So Jesus was listening, obeying, and he was there until he was 30 years old. Number three. How long did the public life of Jesus last?
3 years.
In contrast to his private life of 30 years, public life of Jesus lasted only about 3 short years. So think about it. Here's the man, the most powerful man in the history of the world. He only lived to be 33 years old. It's pretty young. Most of your parents are probably older than 33 years old, probably, right? Your parents are probably in their 40s already, right? So in a matter of 3 years, he changed radically the whole world. And 30, he was basically in hiding. So just those 3 years, when he entered his public life, that he just made a radical change. And of all the people in the world, there's no one in the world that has ever had so many books and articles written on him is Jesus Christ. And he's our Savior. And we're trying to get to know him in this year. And to get to talk to him and to love him. We want him to be our best friend. Amen? In a short time, he transformed. Do you know what transform means in English? He changed. Transform means to change. In a short time, Jesus transformed the world. His public life lasted from 30 to 33 years of age. Is there any place where we can learn about Jesus' life?
Church.
Yet, but yes, most especially in reading and meditating, meeting and meditating should be not of, but on. Change the of to on. Sheet. Meditating on the...
Four.
How many?
Four.
Four Gospels. Okay, so tell me the first Gospel. 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 Tell me the second Gospel. Tell me the third Gospel. Tell me the fourth Gospel. Thank you very much for your eloquence. Okay, so the first Gospel is Matthew. Write it in there. Matthew. So in the Gospel of Matthew, you have 28 chapters, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew has 28. Then the second Gospel would be?
Mark.
16. Okay, so Matthew has 28, Mark has 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And Luke has 24 chapters, right? And the last Gospel is the Gospel of John. And John has 21 chapters. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, let's hear you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You should have that memorized. Now, in the Mass, the priest says, "The Lord be with you." What do you say? And with your spirit. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. What do? You say, "Glory to you, O Lord." Then what do?
You do the sign of the cross.
Okay, so you make the sign of the cross on your forehead, right? Then where?
Lips.
And then where?
Heart.
Right here. Okay, those are three gestures that have a symbolic meaning. You make the sign of the cross over your forehead because you want the Word of God to be in your mind. You make it over your lips because you want to be able to express the Word of God with your lips. And you make it over your heart because you want to love the Word of God. You've been doing that for the past 14 years of your life, maybe. You never really understood why you do it. So it's under, we should know why we do these gestures. Otherwise, it degenerates into superstition. They're just exterior gestures that have no meaning. We have to know why we do things. So why do you make the genuflection in front of the Blessed Sacrament? I mean, I make you guys do it. Am I a drill sergeant? Do you know why I do it? Why you do it? Why do you make the genuflection? Do you know what a genuflection is? Okay, so when you go down in your right knee all the way to the ground, you should know why you do that. Okay, the reason why you do it is because you are in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the Middle Ages, If you've ever studied world history, if you go before a king, you would pay him homage by making a genuflection. So the church is taking that over because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the historical reality behind it. He's the greatest of kings. So we bow our knee to Jesus Christ. So every time you walk in front of the Blessed Sacrament at the end of class, you make a genuflection. Now I'd say I would give you guys maybe a B minus. Some of you, don't get angry, you're pretty sloppy. You're pretty sloppy. Now if you have problems with your knees, then just make a reverence. You maybe have problems with your knees. But if not, all of you should be able to go all the way down to the ground. Okay? And the best way to do it is have your hands over your heart, and on your right knee you go all the way down. All the way down. Probably about 25% of you guys, because I'm very observant, you go down partially but not the whole way. Got to go all the way down. You know, a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy, you should be in the best health in the world. I mean, you're only 14 or 15. You're not an old decrepit abuelita. I mean, you might feel like it, but you know, at 14, you should be. I think when I was your age, I would do 50 push-ups and 10 pull-ups, and I mean, you shouldn't be old decrepit abuelita, right? Okay, let's go. So, you make the sign of the cross over your forehead to think about God, then to talk about God, then to love God, right? Okay. So, same in order. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 21, right? It's a good idea to memorize the number of the chapters. I mean, the Protestants do. We should also. We should beat them out, huh? Now, the word gospel, do you know how to say gospel in Spanish or bilingual? Evangelio. Okay. So the word gospel... The word gospel means, write it down, good news. Good news. Means good news, yeah. Evangelio. Buena noticia. Good news. Okay, like, number five, like Mary, meditate. How can Mary teach us? Our Lady pondered, reflected, and meditated. Mary reflected and meditated on the Word of God in her most pure and immaculate heart. For us to get to know and love Jesus, we should read and meditate upon the Gospels every day. So open up your Bible, go to a chapter, maybe read three or four verses, read it through two or three times, slowly pray over it, think about it, and then talk to God. So three steps to make a meditation. Turn around. Okay? So three steps to meditate. Read, think, and talk. Okay, it's not hard to remember that. You read, you think about it, then you talk to Jesus. Those are three steps to do a meditation. Read the gospel. Think about it, what it means, and talk to Jesus about it. You do that every night, 5 or 10 minutes. Your friendship with Jesus Christ is really going to get stronger and stronger. So all of you should have your own Bible. You can buy your own Bible. What? You all have your own Bible, okay? And if you have your computer, you could probably get a free app of the Bible just by having a computer, okay? But it's good to have a hard copy too. Have your hard copy too. Underline and mark and copy and try to memorize certain verses. You know, one of my favorite verses is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it goes like this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I love that passage.
Right.
Yep. Another passage I really like is John chapter 6. "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers ate the bread, but they died. Do not seek the bread that perishes, but seek the bread of everlasting life." John chapter 6, which refers to the Eucharist. I also like John chapter 10. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me." Not like the marauders who run away when they see the wolf come. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10. How about that for memory? Just give me the chapter, and I'll give it to you. See how important it is to use your memory. You guys have a memory too. You got to use it. I try to cultivate my memory. You know? Try to cultivate your memory. Memorize good things. Memorize good things. I was just with 100 Hispanic women there about 10 minutes ago, and I told them from memory, Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. You're all sitting, "Well, how did you know that?" "Well, I read, I try to memorize, I try to put it into practice." You can do it. No low self-esteem. You guys can do it. Okay, next. What did Jesus do in his public life? Okay, now three basic things he did in his public life. And the rest of the class are going to be going through these three basic activities. He divided into three activities in those 3 years. Okay, in Jesus' public life, which lasted only 3 years, he carried out basically three activities. A would be preaching. Preaching or teaching. B would that Jesus carried out a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles that he performed. And the last is always piques the attention of young people. Let us see. Exorcisms. Yeah, he did. Cast out a lot of devils. Exorcisms. Jesus cast out a lot of devils. You read through the gospel, he's constantly in contact with the devils and he's casting them out. Yes? How do you spell exorcism? No. It's an O. It's with an O. Exorcism.
Exorcism.
Okay, number 7. Preaching. Okay, how did he preach? Jesus did not preach like the scribes and Pharisees who are not honest. Jesus preached with authority. Unction, and he also preached and with power. With authority, unction, and power. He moved many hearts away from sin. And next to sin, you're going to be writing down the word conversion. Moved many hearts away from sin, conversion. He moved many hearts to love and serve God. a central block of the teaching of Jesus can be found in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount would be the longest block of teaching of Jesus in the whole Bible, which you can find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So Matthew 5, 1 to 12 would be the Beatitudes. The eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who weep, they will be comforted. Blessed are the merciful, they will see God. These are called the Beatitudes. And they're attitudes of the heart of Christ. And there are eight of them. Beatitudes. Number eight. Where did Jesus preach? You're going to see what, in this response, you're going to see a lot of different places where he preached. In many places, Jesus taught and preached constantly. Some of the places where he taught, the synagogues, the temple of Jerusalem. Y'all can understand that. Did you ever hear the word a Jewish synagogue?
No.
Did you ever meet a Jewish boy or a Jewish person in your life?
Yeah.
They wear me with a yarmulke?
Yeah.
So what they do is where they worship, it's called a synagogue. Okay. So when Jesus lived, there were a lot of synagogues, but there was just one temple. Okay? You might even ask your parents this. Your parents, if they came from Mexico, you're going to have what is called una parroquia pero muchas capillas. Okay, the parroquia would be the parish. But if you ask your parents if they lived outside of Michoacán or Guadalajara or DF, they lived probably close to the parish, the parroquia or the capilla. So the parish would be the center. You have the capillas, which would be chapels, which would go, you know, 50, 60 miles away. So that would be the analogy I give. In the time of Jesus, there was one temple that was in Jerusalem. That temple was made by King Solomon, who was actually the son of David. Then there'd be every locality would have their synagogue. So in Nazareth or Galilee or Bethsaida, Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. So now the Jews, they worship on Saturdays. The Muslims, they worship on Fridays. The Catholics, they worship on Sundays. And the reason why we worship on Sunday, because of Jesus rose from the dead. On Sunday. That's why we worship on Sundays. But the Jewish people, they go to their synagogue on Saturdays. And the Muslims, they go to their mosque. It's called a mosque. They go on Friday. But about 8 years ago, I was on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And you could see church, synagogue, and mosque almost back to back to back. So all together there in Jerusalem, you have those three different religions. The Christian religion, the Jewish religion, and the Islam or Muslim religion. Okay, so the Temple of Jerusalem. Also, he preached on the shore. In the shore of Galilee. Shore is right near the beach, okay? The shore. So he would actually go there, right along the seashore, and a lot of people would come, sometimes hundreds of people would come, and he'd be preaching to them. And on one occasion, there were so many people that came that he was almost being squashed by people because they were hemming him in. And one of his friends, his name was Peter. Peter was a fisherman. And Peter was just finished fishing, and he didn't catch anything. So Jesus said, well, let's go into the boat, and I'll preach from your boat. So Peter took Jesus in the boat, and they moved out from shore a little bit, and he was preaching from the boat of Peter. So he actually preached from the boat of Peter, too. And the people could not squash him because he was in the boat, because so many people that would follow him, they'd almost crush him. Okay, so it says, on the shore of Galilee, in the boat of St. Peter, in the wilderness, and the last time he preached, he was hanging on the cross on Good Friday. As he hung from the cross, he was still preaching. And when he was hanging on the cross, he preached, we have this recorded in the Bible, what is called his seven last words. These were his seven last words. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. That's the first. Second, he said, I thirst. Third, he said to his mother and John, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold their mother. Fourth, he said, Father, Father, why have you abandoned me? Fifth thing he said to the thief. There are two thieves, one on his right, another one was on his left. And he said, amen, I say to you, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And then the sixth would be, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And the last thing he said was, it is finished. And he died. Those are the seven last words of Jesus Christ. Speaking by memory. Right? Memory. Okay. And seven last words. So from, try to memorize. Try to memorize it, okay? He's hanging from the cross. Okay, that's one. That's good. So try to memorize the other six, okay? All right. So, as he hung on the cross on Good
Friday.
On Good Friday. So we're talking about the three activities of Jesus Christ in his public life from 30 to 33. Okay, we finished the first, and that was his preaching and teaching. So you, by reading your Bible, the Gospels, you can get to know what Jesus preached and taught. Second would be his miracles. His miracles. What are miracles? They are supernatural acts done by God. Jesus himself. They go beyond nature. This would be a miracle if it happened, but it's not going to happen. If I were to throw this pen up, okay, and as I threw it up, it were suspended in air, in which the law of gravity would be suspended. That'd be a miracle, okay? Because that would be suspending one of the laws of nature that God created. It's called the law of gravity. What goes up comes down, right?
Yeah.
Now, God could do that. And Jesus did a lot of miracles. He did a lot of miracles. So we're going to go through a few of the miracles. And then when you're reading the Bible, try to be aware of the many miracles that Jesus did in his public life. Okay, why did Jesus perform miracles? Number 10. Because of the hardness of the hearts of many and their slowness to understand his teaching message. Jesus performed miracles so that the people would believe in him. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, if you do not believe in my words, at least believe in my works. So Jesus preached, and he was the greatest preacher in the whole world. Still, the people wouldn't believe him. So he says, if you don't believe my words, at least believe in the miracles I'm doing. And some of them, even though they saw some miracles where he's walking on water, turning water into wine, they still didn't believe him. Hard-headed, huh? Cabezón, as they say in Spanish, huh? Tercos. So only God can work miracles. Only God can work miracles. Now, some of you have heard of the lives of saints like Padre Pio, okay? Or Saint Francis or John Bosco, okay? You've heard of them, right? If you read their lives, they do a lot of miracles. But they always say, it's not me, God is using me, but God is really the one that's doing the miracles. So your parents probably have the movie of Padre Pio, or the movie of John Bosco. They're very, very famous saints. Do they? Well, you can get it. They're really good movies, and you see these saints working miracles, but they always attribute the miracles to God. Okay? They're good movies out there. Okay, next. What type of miracles did Jesus perform? Jesus basically performed two types of miracles. Two types of miracles to convince the people that he was truly the Son of God made man. These miracles were the following. Miracles over nature. Miracles over nature. And miracles curing. Miracles over nature and miracles curing human bodies. Okay, right now we're going to give about four examples of miracles over nature. What are some examples of Jesus' miracles over nature? The miracles over nature would be the following. Changing water into wine. Any of you know how that happened? Ever read that? How that happened in the Bible? This first miracle. What's that? That was a miracle that Moses did. Do you know how it happened? There was a wedding feast, and what happened? Ran out of wine.
So Jesus asked the staff to bring some water over, and then he turned it into wine.
Okay, perfect. But you forgot one important thing. Who was the one that brought this to the attention of Jesus?
Mary.
So the Blessed Mother was sitting there, and they ran out of wine, and Mary turned to Jesus and said, there's no more wine. And so he told them to bring these six stone jars and fill the water to the brim. And then Jesus blessed the water, and the water was turned into wine. Was it good wine or bad wine?
Good wine.
It was the best wine.
And the
waiter said, hey, they usually drink the best wine at first, and after people have drank a lot, then they give the poor wine, because they don't know the difference afterward, no?
Yeah.
You saved the best wine for last. So that was the first public miracle that Jesus did. It was done in a wedding feast. It was done through the intercession of Mary. And you can find that in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, right? Okay? John chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Next. So water into wine at Cana. Jesus was also walking on water. When I was your age, I used to be able to walk on water, but with a boat pulling me across the lake. Water skiing. But that's different, isn't it? That's different. So Jesus actually walked on water, but not with a boat and a water ski. No, he was walking on water. That was a powerful miracle. Also, the multiplying of the loaves. So they didn't have enough food to eat. And they brought him some bread and some fish. And he blessed the bread and the fish. There were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he blessed it, and thousands of people ate from the loaves and fishes. Now, how did it happen? Every time he'd be breaking the bread, it would be multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. So all these people were able to eat from the loaves of fishes that Jesus multiplied because of his miraculous power. Then another one was this. Jesus sent the apostles into the boat, and they couldn't cross because there was a storm at sea. And then he came walking on the water. But another one, Jesus was in the boat with the apostles, and a storm descended, and it's the only time in the Bible in which Jesus is found asleep, is when he's in the boat, and there's a storm on the lake. And the apostles are filled with fear. And they wake him up and says, and they say to him, "Lord, we're perishing. We're going to die." So Jesus woke up and he said to the storm, "Calm. Calm down." And right away, the storm stopped. Like that.
Yeah, that's fast.
Just like that. So he has power over the storm. So that would be multiplying the loaves and the fishes and calming the storm on the sea. Calming the storm on the sea. Now, what are some of the miracles over human bodies and healing? So we've done those over nature. Now over human bodies and healing. These are the most numerous, and the gospel recounts many. Here are a few of these miracles. Curing the lepers. Restoring sight to the blind. Giving hearing to the deaf. Not death, but deaf. And speech to the mute. Jesus also healed the paralytics and healed the man with a withered hand. Jesus cured the woman with a constant blood flow. 3 times is recorded of Jesus bringing back to life. Back to life. The dead. The daughter of Jairus. The son of the widow of Nain. Finally, what was considered the greatest miracle of Jesus before his own resurrection was the raising of one of his good friends. It begins with an L. Lazarus. The raising of Lazarus after he was dead for 4 days. That you can read in John chapter 11. Exorcisms. How did Jesus perform exorcisms? Jesus expelled the devils or the devils who had entered into the bodies of individuals. It's called an exorcism. When did Jesus expel more than one devil from some person? Legion. Mark 1:5-20. Man was possessed by many devils. And Jesus expelled all of the devils from the man. They entered into the pigs, grazing on the pasture, and hurled themselves off the cliff, thereby drowning. The man was cured totally by the salvific action of Jesus Christ. Amen, huh? Why did Jesus perform exorcisms?
To cure people.
Jesus performed exorcism to prove that he had power over all. Even the devil and his evil forces. Even in the exorcisms of the devil, we should focus more on the power of Jesus than the evil of the devil. Who did Jesus call to help him in his public life? Jesus wanted both helpers and friends to be with him in his public life. Jesus chose 72 disciples. And how many apostles did he choose? 12. 12 apostles. Okay, Jesus and the apostles. Who and what were the apostles? The apostle actually means sent. Means sent. Jesus chose 12 apostles to be with him as his close friends. Then he sent them out to preach and teach, to perform miracles, and to exorcise devils. Can you name the 12 apostles? Yes, the 12 apostles were the following. Peter. James.
Luke.
John. Andrew. Philip. James the Less.
James the Less.
James the Less. Because there's the greater. James the Less. Matthew. Thomas. Bartholomew.
Hello. Wait, what?
Bartholomew. You guys don't know how to spell that? It's a tough...
Hello.
Okay, Bartholomew.
They need to learn.
Okay, then Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot. Jude. And Judas the Iscariot, who would betray Jesus. Jesus spent the whole night in prayer before choosing the 12 apostles. Okay, last. Where did Jesus live during his public life? Actually, Jesus had no permanent abode during the course of his public life. He said, foxes have their holes. The birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The lesson? Call to trust in God and divine providence in all times, places, and circumstances. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.